Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, here again today with Peter Burak as we continue to celebrate the octave of Christmas, and we're January 1st here, the Solemnity of Our Lady. What an amazing thing to be able to talk about today, Pete.
Welcome. Yeah, absolutely. Happy New Year.
Yeah, thank you very much. Happy New Year to you, too.
Fun week to do shows. We get to say all sorts of fun things to each other. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Let's talk about judgment.
Right. Yeah, exactly. One of the themes that I'm not surprised completely because I do remember previous years, but just how much from Christmas to even to this moment, so much is revealed about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, to be a follower of Jesus, which we've been talking about. Friends, if you didn't have a chance to tune in the program the last few days that Pete's been with us, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. But more importantly, just get the Renewal Ministries app and download it because you can have access to my program, Sister Ann's programs, our TV programs, all the good stuff that's going on in Renewal Ministries. You can have access to it anytime you want. So I think the programs were especially good the last couple of days. And we're talking about discipleship because really what the church presents us in the readings in part is models of what it means to respond to the fact that the King has come, that Jesus has come to establish the Father's kingdom. And what does it mean to be in the kingdom? And what does it mean to what it means to imitate Jesus and to follow him? And of course, who better imitates Jesus than Our Lady? She's the quintessential disciple.
Yeah, the first disciple, right? In many ways. And so given over to the will of God, which is what the disciple is concerned with, is doing the will of their master. She's so given over to it that literally God dwells in her in a totally unique way. Mm-hmm. And what a hope for us, not so much that we could model her completely, but watching how she models Jesus gives me great hope too, that she's like us. And her cooperation, her openness to the Spirit is so transforming that literally the world was forever changed because of her yes. Yeah. And to even the model of the beginning of discipleship is saying yes to the call. And even the dialogue of kind of what's going on, I'm not sure how this is going to happen, her questions, God's patience with her, and yet ultimately it's let your will be done to me according to your will. So it's a beautiful thing to celebrate her because she is in some ways the like you said, the quintessential model of a disciple.
Yeah, just that little phrase, be it done unto me according to thy word. That's the heart of a disciple. Be it done unto me, Lord, your will be done. That's what I want. St. Paul used slightly different terminology at times. He'd say, we make it our aim now to please the Lord.
Right.
That's really what's at the heart of it. You know, do you love the Lord in such a way that you just want to please him with your life and you want to receive whatever he has for you in your life? And if your heart's turned to him, you can be absolutely confident. He will lead you. He'll lead you where he's made you to go. He wants you to come fully into what the Father has designed you, personally designed you for, you know, your purpose and your destiny here on earth. And Jesus wants to walk that out with you. He wants to lead you into it. He wants to empower you to be able to live it out in different ways. And so we're in such a unique time. I know one of the things we touched on, Pete, the first couple of days a little bit is an eternal perspective. And at the end of yesterday's radio program, we were talking about reading from 1 John, the church gave us, that says, brethren, we're in the last hour. And one of the things John is talking about, of course, is in that reading, is saying the Antichrist spirit is present in this last hour. But what does the church mean by the last hour? It's beautifully put in paragraph 670 from the Catechism. It says, since the ascension, God's plan has entered into its fulfillment. We're already at the last hour. Already the final age of the world is with us. And the renewal of the world is irrevocably underway. It's even now anticipated in a certain real way, for the church on earth is endowed already with a sanctity that is real but is imperfect. Christ's kingdom already manifests its presence through the miraculous signs that attend the proclamation by the church. So we're in the last hour. Why do we know that? Because Jesus has ascended to the right hand of the Father. So his rule has been established. All authority, he's been enthroned. The enthronement has happened. Christ has been raised from the dead, and he's taken with him, glorified. He's glorified humanity in his own person. We who had fallen from glory are now taken up into glory, and the new creation has begun under the rule of Jesus. Nothing will ever stop that. That's what's going on. And the apostles talk about this is now the last hour, the last chapter. We're in it. And part of that is those who die in Christ enter his glory. And who expresses it more fully than Our Lady? who's been totally glorified by her son, right? Mm-hmm. And has been given an ongoing commission from heaven to be sort of the prophetess for the church, leading the mission of the church in so many ways. And we see the impact of the glorification of Jesus. All authority is his, and he loves to have his disciples participate in his glory, in his mission of bringing down the kingdom of darkness. And that is expressed uniquely in the life of Our Lady.
Yeah, and I love the line in there that the sanctity is real but imperfect in this age. Like the whole plan of salvation for us here and now is that sanctity is accessible to us through the Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the sacraments, through the church that Jesus established, that we have the real opportunity to be transformed into God. God became man now that we could become God, that we are on that path to being completely united with him forever. And yet it's imperfect, right? Because we all stumble and fall. And that's the joy of the church, is that Jesus doesn't just leave us orphans or kind of say, well, figure it out on your own. He leaves the Spirit in the church through the sacraments to give us these touch points and these frameworks and these institutions even to continue that process in us. And then, you know, you said about Mary, was one of the few things she says in Scripture is, do whatever he tells you, right? He says to the servants right before Jesus' first miracle. So Mary models for us kind of those two questions of every disciple. What is God saying to me and what am I going to do about it? Mary hears what God is saying to her and then she acts on it and then bears witness to that reality when she says, listen to what he's going to say to you and then act on it. And so part of our process of following Mary's lead here is living with a receptivity to God and attentiveness to God, listening for the voice of the Lord, that still small voice. And then when we hear it, not just letting that word penetrate and just kind of sit there lying dormant, but hearing it with the understanding that as I abide in the Father, he will send me out. He will ask me to do things. And as I do things, I need to then in good rhythm come back and abide in him. And Mary is a beautiful combination of abiding and doing. She's with the Father. She's overshadowed by the Spirit, but then she's active as well. And even now, she's maybe more active than she's ever been in her apparitions, even in the last, you know, 150 years. She's just constantly revealing to the world again what? Repent, believe, come back to the Son, listen to the Father, listen to the Son, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a call because she recognizes what age we're in. We have the opportunity for holiness, but yet still imperfect. And yet we're called to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. You know?
Yeah, it's a good description, Pete, of the rhythm of the life of a disciple. I'm just thinking the gospel reading today, just the line, and Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. It's a description of Jesus said, abide in me. That's what you're describing, this abiding, like I'm living daily with the realization that God has made his home in me now. I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. Christ dwells in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The reality of Jesus' victory has already begun. It's, you know, he's landed in me, as it were. You know, he's alive in me. And so he said, I'll be with you always, and he's with us that way. So we live in a conversation with him. That's what Mary's doing. She held all these things in her heart. So you'll find, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom of God, because the king is in you, right? And so he wants us to live with that realization. I think sometimes we get so spatial that he's out there somewhere.
Yes.
And he's not in here. Or I fell, and therefore he's not here anymore. And he's far away from me, or something like that. I mean, the Lord will never abandon us, right? He wants us, if we fall, to go to confession. He wants us to deal with everything that separates. But he wants to live in conversation with us, like Our Lady did. And then out of that, she heard the Lord say, okay, your will be done. Mm-hmm. Your will be done.
Yeah.
Your will be done. And the specifics, friends, of God's will for you and me are different, because he's got an ultimate purpose for each of us, is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, love our neighbors. But how is that going to get reflected? How is that going to get lived out in your life and mine? We know that by listening to him and following his lead on the unique path that he has for each and every one of us.
Yeah. And I mean, if your heart's being stirred by this and kind of the final age that we're living in, there's some real stakes involved that we need to pay attention to these things. At the same time, this is not designed to cause anxiety or fear, but drive us to what Mary did here. What did she do? She reflected on these things in her heart, which reveals a certain silence and solitude that she had within herself, where it was her and the one she loved the most. And so practically speaking for us, abiding can be kind of a nebulous, oh, how do I abide in something,
right,
you know?
Right. Well, it's a very active thing. It sounds like passive still, but it's an intense, it's an intense thing.
It's not sitting on the couch, just kind of laziness, you know, it's not going blank. It's it's kind of the opposite. It's being strategic about carving out time. And this is like, it's like, let's just get really practical about this. Are we ever sitting in active silence with God? And what do I mean by that? It's like, are we ever carving out real amounts of time where we detach ourselves from distraction, whether that be people or devices or whatever, and entering into the presence of God and saying, Lord, I want to reflect on these things with you. And so we're not alone because he's with us, but we are alone from the things that are not him. So it's like that weird dichotomy. We're never alone, but we need to actually be alone in order to be with him in this strange way. Sometimes we just have to get really practical about it. Like, set an amount of time you're going to do this. You know, let's be realistic. Let's say 15 minutes. Set a timer on your phone. Put your phone on the other side of the room and just be in solitude for 15 minutes. Finish that whole time. Don't cut it off at 13:37 or anything like that. Do the full thing, because especially with young adults, when we work with them, they want to pray and they want to hear the voice of the Lord. But we sometimes never do the practical things that will actually lead us into that experience.
Yeah, it's so crucial to be able to build a habit.
Yes.
And find that time, find that place that works for you. I mean, first thing in the morning for me, if I don't do it, then it's very hard for me to get back to it. There's kind of it's the habit that's there. But, you know, not only those moments, I'm 100% in agreement with you about setting aside, seeking that solitude and silence so you can hear the Lord. And Jesus said, if you don't abide in him, you can't be fruitful.
Right.
Because what I'm leading you to do, you'll never be able to do it without me. Because the spiritual reality, the impact I want you to have in your world, in your marriage, on your kids, in your neighborhood, your friends, whatever it is, your business, I want you to have an impact that flows out of a relationship with me. And it's the kind of thing, if it does flow from me, what you do will echo into eternity.
Yeah.
Because it's the kind of thing, it's a kingdom reality. It's not done out of the willfulness of the flesh, but you're moving in the Lord, and he's using you in that way, in a very healthy way, we mean that, using you. You're an instrument of his grace. And so abiding in him can happen in that silence, but it also throughout the day.
Yes.
I mean, I remember times, some thoughts came to my mind that I was golfing one time in West Virginia, and I was on this beautiful 18-hole course early in the morning. And as far as I knew, I was the only one there. Hmm. And I had my rosary in my hand. I was just driving along. I love golf. Sun was shining, and it was totally quiet. I saw hawks flying, and I just saw the beautiful mountain range, and my rosary was right there next to me, and I just stopped a couple of times in the fairway, and I took up the rosary, and I just prayed a decade of the rosary, but mostly I just talked to the Lord. I said, Lord, thank you so much for this, and I know I love golf. I think you love golf too, Lord. I think deep down you wish you were here playing with me right now.
Right,
you know what I mean? You know what I mean? But just living with him, talking with him, you know, is partly also what it means to abide in him.
Yeah, and so how do we talk? It's, even St. Paul says, pray constantly, which seems like a ridiculous thing.
Yeah.
How could you possibly pray constantly? Yeah. Some of that is just paying attention to God, recognizing his presence around and inviting him into everything we do. And it's not an either or, it's a both and. We need to both have times of silence and solitude, and we need to be able to say, everything I do is a gift from the Lord. Every opportunity I have is a gift from him, and I want to recognize that and live in a spirit of gratitude and just awareness of his presence.
Yeah. And you know, another awareness. I just want to end the program saying, God, pray to our Father in heaven. Father, thank you for our lady. Thank you for your wisdom and your plan. Thank you for the amazing mission that you've given to her, and how she's been able to participate in the glory of her son. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.